Thank you for standing by, and welcome to the EROAD Half Year 2020 Results Briefing. All participants are in a listen-only mode. There will be a presentation followed by a question and answer session. If you wish to ask a question, you will need to press the star key followed by the number 1 on your telephone keypad. I would now like to hand the conference over to Mr. Stephen Newman, Chief Executive. Please go ahead.
Good morning, everybody. It's my pleasure, along with Alex Ball at EROAD's CFO, to present the half-year results for FY20. We will begin by working through the investor presentation released this morning, along with the half-year report and ANZ announcement. I'll begin on slide 2. So it's been a very good half year for us. We've had strong growth in revenue of 35% and good contribution from both our New Zealand and North American markets. There's been a significant lift in EBITDA, an impressive 92%, demonstrating the impact of scale and our ability to get good operational leverage. This in turn resulted in a much improved operating loss after tax of only $106,000 compared to $3.4 million for the past year of FY19. Key growth indicators, future contracted income reached $130.9 million, an increase of $15.8 million compared to the first half of 19. We've seen a good positive lift also in operating cash flows. All these achievements, while we've continued to reinvest strongly into our business, particularly R&D, being $8.2 million, which is equivalent to 21% of revenue, is also $3.3 million investment into business systems. We turn to slide 2, operational highlights, clear evidence that we're executing on our strategy, attracting new customers, keeping them and growing them, and we've seen an increase in revenue, monthly revenue per unit. We grew our contracted units by just under 13,000 for the first half, equating to a 27% annualised growth, and we clearly benefited from the two large North American enterprise accounts that were onboarded during this period. We released 4 new SaaS products to deliver further value to our customers. As we outlined at the Investor Day, we're investing in business systems for scale and to increase the capability of the business going forward. In terms of page 4, you'll see an impressive CAGR over the last 6 years of 49%. And if we look to page 5, you can see that our growth over this half year is the second largest on record. So we're very proud of that, and that's without really having the ELD mandate, which supported our highest growth half year in the second half of FY18. If we, you will also see for the first time we've broken out our Australian numbers, so you can see the unit growth in each of our markets. If we now turn to page 6, these are the 4 new SaaS products. One specifically for Australia, which is the fuel tax credits. We're pretty excited about the introduction of that and the kind of return on investment we can provide to our customers on that one, and it'll be a good growth driver for us. We released a dashboard under the new My E-Road architecture, so that's the first of the new services to come under the My E-Road platform, and you'll see further of those in coming reports. In North America, we released the interest rate rule set for Texas that has generated 6 months as a result of that, particularly in oil and gas. And we provide further improvements in our ELD product. If we look to page 7, we're pleased to announce a completely new product that sits alongside E-Road Depot, which is our main SaaS platform, which is called E-Road Wear. So E-Road Wear will get released in New Zealand this month, has been developed with some of our larger customers, which have a huge number of assets, small assets, in addition to their trucks, trailers and cars. So this is a small asset tracker that can go on things like rubbish bins, portaloos, chainsaws, etc. The customer problem is losing them and mislaying them. Subsequently, they usually get taken. So we have developed a solution that leverages off the extensive coverage that we have in New Zealand with more than 50,000 vehicles driving our roads in New Zealand, which is about 45 million kilometres a week. Each one of the E-Road equipped trucks and cars can communicate with these tags as they drive past them, and so we know where the location of these assets are. This allows us to track these smaller assets at $5 a month, and the tag is an initial purchase of $30. So completely new approach to solving a significant problem for our customers. We estimate New Zealand market to be in the order of about 1 million assets. And at these price points and functionality, we see it as a major game changer. The platform Wear is capable of adding 5G IoT trackers at a later time, but I think there's huge benefit our customers can enjoy from this product. So we look forward to reporting progress on this product offering at the full year. If we turn to page 8, growth in our individual markets. So firstly, New Zealand. New Zealand remains a significant growth opportunity for us. We've seen good re-signing from customers and a high retention rate of over 95%. A growing trend is that of the companies which are renewing their contracts with us, 55% of them upgraded from our older eHubbo 1 products to eHubbo 2. In addition to that, our customers are also signing up for additional SaaS services, which represents improved ARPU. So we saw a slight improvement in ARPU across the half year. If we go to page 9, North America, we now consider this to be an established market. And in addition to the onboarding at large scale of 2 enterprise accounts, which was a total of, I think, 5,300 units, which we did without impacting the operations of these large enterprise accounts, we've seen EBITDA significantly improve. So from FY19, where we had, for the first half, a loss of 0.4 million, we have a positive EBITDA of 3.2 million, which is excellent, and that's on additional revenue for the half year of 5 million. So again, very, very good leverage. So very, very strong half year for us. We think during the second half of the year, we're not going to enjoy this level of enterprise wins or onboarding, so we'll be falling back to our sort of traditional run rate business for most of the second half. If we go to page 10, Australia, we're pretty excited about this market. It is turning out quite differently. We thought it would be a similar market entry to what we had in New Zealand and the US, with strong wins within that small to medium business. It's turning out to be far more an enterprise market. And while we haven't listed an enterprise win during this first half year, we're expecting to have one or two wins during the second half year. Enterprise takes a long time to go through that sales and validation cycle. I will now hand over to Alex to go through the financial update.
Thank you, Stephen. Good morning, everybody. If we turn to slide 12, hopefully now you've had a chance to read our market release and click through the interim report. We delivered another strong result, which we are, as Stephen's articulated earlier, proud of. Revenue increased 35% to 38.5 million in a period with strong contributions from both New Zealand and the North American markets, as we've articulated. EBITDA increased 92% to 11.9 million, reflecting both that increase in revenue as well as further operating leverage. Future contracted income increased 14% to 130.9 million. And as you saw in our quarterly release back in October, the total contracted units grew 27% on an annualized basis. If we turn to slide 13, which talks in more depth around our EBITDA growth, North America was the strongest contributor in driving that $5.7 million of total EBITDA growth period on period, really reflecting the two enterprise customers onboarding that we've talked about and turning those on, as well as the improved operating leverage. We've seen increasing costs in Australia, really reflecting the investment we're making there in building up the sales team and marketing efforts as we roll further into the market and grow that market. So let's turn to slide 14. In terms of our performance indicators, we've spoken a lot about the key metrics that we look at as a company that the market can measure performance against. These first three charts show you our three leading growth indicators. So on the left-hand side, our annualized monthly recurring revenue increased from $66.5 to $75.8 million. And as we increased contracted unit numbers and average revenue per unit, or ARPU, and obviously that will grow again in the second half. Future contracted income, as we've talked earlier, grew to 130.9 million with new contracted units and the impact of renewals. Again, this will grow in the second half of the year. Thirdly, as we've guided in the past, our R&D spend will be in and continue to be in the range of 18 to 22%, as we believe it's critical to invest to capitalize on the huge growth opportunities available to us in the markets that we're in. In investing in innovation and growth. So for the period that we're reporting on, R&D spend was 21% of revenue for that first half, with just over 60% of that capitalized onto the balance sheet. We turn to slide 15, which is the next set of metrics, really talking around the enterprise value that we derive from our existing customer base. ARPU has continued to grow as we've upgraded units in our New Zealand business from eHub 01 to eHub 02, and continuing to achieve good pricing on our new sales, as well as the benefit of the stronger US dollar from our US market operations. We're working to increase this further as we grow, also helped by hopefully a continuing strong US dollar through the rest of the half. Our customers remain loyal, so our asset retention rate is not only stayed the same, but is actually tweaked up slightly to 94.9%, so it's still close to that impressive 95% zone,
really proof of our compelling customer position and after sales care. The additional sales products we continue, the SaaS products we continue to launch and upgrading hardware, all are proving to be excellent retention tools in maintaining that rate. We turn to slide 16, which is our profitability metrics. We have cost to acquire and cost to serve on there. So in terms of our cost to acquire, that's slightly increased from 21% to 22%, really reflecting our investment into Australia as we invest ahead of securing those revenue streams there. We expect that to go down over time as the revenues from that investment catch up. In terms of our cost to serve, that's remained in the 4 to 5% range, decreased slightly period on period, down to 4.4%. We do expect this to improve over time from FY21 onwards, particularly as the scale and leverage improve following the investments we've talked about in our business systems. We turn to page 17. This is our usual operating cost bridge, which reflects the difference from one half to the next. The biggest movement in that bridge, obviously, is the increase in personal expenses, which really reflect a full period of having the new management team in place in the from the second half onwards of FY19, and that continued investment in additional capabilities such as in our customer success area. And we also need to flag that we've had some extra legal costs associated with the defence of the US patent claim, which is disclosed in our accounts. Going forward, we do expect our operating costs to be several million dollars higher in the second half of FY20, really due to the full impact of those new capability hires I talked to, an anticipated increase in the level of legal costs around that US patent claim defence, as we've talked to. And some additional costs associated with the company's share-based payment scheme, continuing capability hires in our product and engineering functions as we further invest for growth, as well as strategic partnerships and acquisitions activity. We turn to slide 18, which talks to our movement in fixed assets. At the top of the slide, we talk around our additions to property, plant and equipment. And clearly, as you would expect, with a significant increase in unit growth and that deployment of those two new enterprise customers, hardware has increased period on period, net of the inventory movement, as well as the impact of the stronger US currency. At the bottom of the slide, we have had movement in our intangible assets, both in the development assets additions, which is reflecting the R&D spend that we make in the platform and other related product software, but also there's an increase of $3.3 million in the software additions, which is the investment in the business systems that we've talked to earlier in the presentation. If we move to slide 19, which again illustrates our period-on-period continuing investment in R&D, which is critical to delivering the reliability, scalability, and quality of growth that we're looking for the future. In total, in the first half, a total of 8.2 was invested in R&D, of which 5 million was capitalized, and 3.1 of the previously capitalized research and development was expensed and amortized. Sorry, 3.2 was amortized. In line with our expectations, as I said earlier, the total amount invested in R&D represented 21% of revenue. As you know, we've talked about the criticality of this, and about 40% of EROAD's investment in research and development is spent on maintaining the platform, with about 60% spent on new and enhanced SaaS products for customers. The bridge on the right-hand side of the slide really then reflects the consequential movement in that development asset that I talked to earlier, with the 5 million increase offset by that 3.2 amortization. If we turn to slide 20, which is the graphical representation of our cash flow statement, that really just reflects the 6 million reduction in cash that we've had in the year, which was to do with the use of that around our elevated levels of investment in R&D, in those business systems we've talked about, which is called out in the red box around the investment in tangible assets, as well as our continuing investment into Australia. If we turn to slide 21, which expands on those operating cash flows and investing cash flows, our free cash flow, which is a combination of those two, fell by $2.2 million on the period, really impacted by that 3.3 investment in business and operating systems, that 2.2 higher level of research and development spend, and that $0.8 million EBITDA loss in Australia. In the short term, until we're free cash flow positive, we do expect our investing cash flows to be funded by a combination of operating cash flows and available debt facilities. And as we've highlighted in our market release, we're in the process of increasing the limits on our debt facilities for us to continue to fund our organic growth together with those existing cash flows from operations. I'll now hand it back to Stephen to talk through the outlook going forward.
Thank you, Alex. If we turn to page 23, as we outlined at the Investor Day back in September, supported by our purpose of safety and productive roads, the team at EROAD has been focusing on three areas to create shareholder value. The first being extending the platform, second, scaling for growth, and third, choosing to grow. As outlined today, we are executing successfully in all three areas, and here are some examples. In terms of, they're listed on the page. For the second half of the year, we'll be focused on launching EROAD Wear, completing the rollout of our new business systems, building in-house capability around acquisitions, and progressing the development of our next generation of in-vehicle hardware, which will include a camera. We'll continue to win, retain, and broaden our relationships with our customers in all three markets. We turn to page 24. For H2, second half of the financial year, we expect consistent and strong growth in the New Zealand market, which is still a very attractive market for us. We're nowhere near reaching a maximum in that market. The rate of growth in the North American market will fall back a bit as we will not be bringing on an enterprise win during the second half of the year. That is unlikely, but we'll continue to focus on winning enterprise business where there is a strong match to our product offering. Australia, we expect that we will get some growth from enterprise wins, and we look forward to reporting those at the full year. I'd like to now open up for questions.
Thank you. If you wish to ask a question, please press star 1 on your telephone and wait for your name to be announced. If you wish to cancel your request, please press star 2. And if you are on a speakerphone, please pick up the handset to ask your question. Once again, if you wish to ask a question, please press star 1 on your telephone and wait for your name to be announced. Your first question comes from Wasim Kiriswani with Jarden. Please go ahead.
Yeah, good morning, guys. Can I just ask a question on that enterprise pipeline across both your regions, North America and then Australia as well? Can you give us some sense of where that sort of added confidence is coming from around in Oz in terms of converting some opportunities in the second half and then perhaps with North America, what that pipe is looking like going into FY21?
So in terms of Australia, we have in the order of 300 Tanspan sort of customers, so we have their business in New Zealand. We don't have it in Australia. Within that pipeline, which is greater than 10 accounts that we're looking at, there is similar kinds of fatigue and health and safety drivers, but there's also the New Zealand part of those operations are really getting good benefit on positive ROIs. So that's really what's kind of the underlying motivation that's driving interest, which is very good. So that's where those opportunities are really coming from. In North America, we have the second part of the ELD mandate coming out, which mainly affects the larger fleets because they previously had telematics in there. And many of those systems can be upgraded to be ELDs. So that second mandate's December 19. So that's really what is occupying enterprise at the moment. Once we get to January, I think, you know, the conversations will then start moving forward to getting potentially a better ELD solution from EROAD that's easier to use and more reliable, as well as other services. So, you know, it's a significant transition for enterprise in North America. That it's quite understandable why we wouldn't have much at the moment, because, you know, for a large enterprise to introduce an ELD solution, and many of which are upgrading, it takes a long time to be good at that. So that's what the focus is. Once they get past that activity, then we'll be back talking to them about how we can improve their operations. So, you know, I think that's why we're reasonably confident in terms of sort of mapping out what that next 6 month period looks like. But, you know, I think the two wins that we have had in North America and the fact that they're so happy and such positive references for us has us in very good stead. I think the fact that we did a rapid implementation into that second enterprise account of 1,650 units in 5 weeks just shows how far we've come and how capable we are at being able to support enterprise. So, you know, while there is a hiatus over this next period, you know, we're very positive beyond that period.
That's great. Thank you.
Thank you. Once again, if you wish to ask a question, please press star 1 on your telephone and wait for your name to be announced. We are showing no further questions at this time. I'll now hand back to Mr. Newman for closing remarks.
Thank you, everyone, for dialing in and listening to our presentation. Many of you, Alex and I, will get the opportunity to spend some time with over the extensive roadshow over the next week and a half. So thank you, everyone, and for your continued support.